To the English speaking people, I would like to say that I know that it's very difficult to translate. So I thought I should give you the gist of the whole idea very quickly, so it's better, easier for you to understand. Is that all right? Det är undskyld, jag ska försöka att fortälla dessa engelsktalande vad idén är, så det gick helt loss. Det är väldigt vanskligt att översätta någon av de ting där, för det är som halvteknisk. I'm suggesting that the structure of the European community is of such a nature that it's detrimental to peace and liberty. And I can shortly give you the idea. For example, in Germany, you have a federation. You have 16 Länders and one federation with the government in Bonn. Or like in the United States, you have the federal government in Washington, and then you have 50 states. And it's being stated in your constitutions in both your countries that a certain amount of responsibility has been given to the central authority. For example, defense, national security, central bank system, foreign policy, that you understand. And it says in the German and in the American constitution that any other question whatever, if there's any doubt, goes to the lender or to the states. It belongs here. This has also been called the subsidiarity principle, or the principle of subsidiarity. But the principle of subsidiarity suggested in the European community is different from this. That suggests that certain things belong to the Brussels elite, and anything else is subject to subsidiarity. Meaning, not like in Germany or in the United States, that the central government can go into any area, any question, any issue. No, they can't, because that belongs to the lenders and to the states. But in the European community, it is in such a nature that anything, any time, that what suits the central authority in Brussels can be handled by the central authority in Brussels on their choice. So they have total responsibility for certain areas, industry, farming, and such like, and then they can go into any question according to as it pleases them on the principles of subsidiarity. You get the point. In the United States you had the FBI, the CIA, you can understand, because national security. Then you had a federal police system, FBI. Same you have in Germany, but then you have the local police. You have education, culture, taxation on the lenders and in states in the United States with their own government, totally independent of the Bonn and the Washington government. But the system suggested for Europe is that these central leading institutions should have lawful access to any issue, any question, anywhere in society, in any country. And I compare this to the Catholic Church's basic idea of lawmaking, which they call lex animata, which means the living law. Those who make the law are not subject to it in the same way as the citizens are. And if I read for you in the Rome constitution, you know, for the common market, as it was started, it says in paragraph or in article 235 that if it pleases the central authorities in Europe, they can add any paragraph, any law that furthers the aim of total centralization in Europe. You can read it yourself afterwards. It's unbelievable that people say yes to it. It's writing out a check, you know, and asking them to add the sum. You get the point? This is paragraph or article 235. Also articles 5 and 7 say the same. And that's the one point. The second point is that in making a law in a European community, You haven't got independence of the different institutions. Like in the United States, the president is totally independent of the Congress. He doesn't have to have a majority in Congress or the Senate to be a president. But in European countries, it's not like that. You have the so-called parliamentary system, where the grouping in the parliament with the majority straight away has the president or the government. So they have a linking, a direct linking in Europe, in all our European countries, between the majority in government and the government in the parliament and the government. So the lawmaking and the executive power in European countries are one. You understand it? It doesn't have to be, but you may have a minority government where the government in power has a minority in the parliament. That is possible and happens from time to time. But parliamentarism suggests that majority in government gives the right, majority in the parliament gives the right to the government. This is totally separated in the United States. Apart from that, you had a judiciary, the law system is totally different from government and parliament. But in the United States, the president may choose judges, and there have to be a hearing in the Congress and the Senate to see if they accept it. So there is an independence between the lawmaking, the executive, and the judicial system. When you come to the European government, they are totally linked up. All suggestions for making a law in the European community comes from the Commission. They have the monopoly on suggesting laws. There's a hearing of these laws in the Parliament, and then it's being voted in the Council of Ministers. So these three groups work together, totally interwoven in a system of hearing and suggesting and voting. And all doors in there are shut. There's no access for the public, for the press, for anybody. And they have no right or no duty to report anything said or voted at all in the system. It is a real unbelievable system. And that European people would like it. I don't. Many, many don't, of course, you know that. But that is, that's a second point. And then I would like to add another point, and that is that when you have a constitution, for example, like in Germany, or in the United States, or any democratic country, this constitution is settled. You can't alter it except in a very difficult and painstaking procedure. Not so in the European community or the European Union. You can change this fundamental concept of law. For example, the Maastricht is being changed again in 1906. They may add any law at any time to change it, with the aim of furthering the closer union of the European people. That means to say that you must govern according to the ideology of the European community, not according to law. I'm sure you get the point. It sounds unbelievable. This is the case. I would like to show it to you if I had a chance. But you don't change the... In Denmark, where I live, the law, as it's stated, is the law, and the judge can never judge according to the aim or the ideology of a political party or of a government. It's absolutely impossible. You can only judge according to the law written. In a European community, the European Court of Law is judging according to the aim of the community. I could give you an example. And it is a frightening example. 2-3 years back, the EFTA countries, which is Austria, Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Iceland, and Switzerland, they belong to a group called EFTA, like the European Community. So they have European Community. So they have the EFTA countries. And these EFTA countries negotiated a settlement between the European Community and EFTA. They worked for 1 year, day and night more or less, and came out with the result, and everybody was happy. The same morning, before the sun was up, the European Court had said it doesn't count anywhere, because the European Court does not accept international rights. They can only judge according to the aim of the community. And an international agreement between the EFTA countries and the European Community is subject to international law, and that is not recognized by the European community. And so they annulled it the same morning, And all the politicians were up in arms saying, we must change this, and we must have this done over again, and they couldn't change it. They had to negotiate all over again and give the judicial power to the European community or none at all. What do you think of that? Give you all the documents if you like. It sounds like telling, you know, stories to children at Christmas time. It's quite a system, and people don't know it because politicians don't tell people these things. They keep it down, they keep it secret, they keep it out of common knowledge. And this is the whole idea I'd like to explain here to the audience, so I give you the gist of it. There's no one aspect of governmental or leadership in the common market that is totally independent of any other, and that is the bank system. It's built on the Deutsche Bundesbank, the central German bank system, which is terribly independent, built up by Pearl. You know that gentleman, he's out of business now, but he may be the coming president of the European bank, when central bank, if it is established. And they have suggested that all money matters are totally independent of government, of parliament, commission, council of minister, national governments, totally independent. 6 leaders, 1 boss and a sub boss, and then 4 members. These 6 people on their own are going to lead all money matters in Europe on the capitalist system or a free market system. And then there are 12 councillors in addition to these 6, and they are chosen for 8 years at a time maximum. Totally independent, they are not allowed to or not supposed to look back to their own government or to the European community. It's the only instance in the whole European community where there is total independence, and that is, interestingly enough, the money matters. I don't know why you don't fall off your chairs, but you don't. You may not have got a point, or you think I'm telling stories. I have learned, because I try to engage myself in these questions in Denmark where I live, and practically 100% of all politicians, all political parties except one in Denmark, are all for these things. You know, industry is for it, capital is for it, everybody is for it. It's glorious, it's marvelous, and they don't tell you anything if you don't find it out yourself. You have to read this treaty, and it's very difficult to read. I found it very difficult. I spent so much time on it, and I had to telephone so many people, and I asked so many people to help me to get the gist of it. I found it very difficult, but it's possible to understand. It's not difficult. The idea is not difficult to grasp, but it's difficult to get the idea because it's legal language and so on. If you're not used to that, it sounds complicated, but it's very simple as I tell you here. So if you have, for example, a federation in the United States, it's a different federation, and I repeat to you, in the United States, what defense, national security, the federal bank system belongs to the federal government, and that's it. Anything else goes to the states, and if there's any doubt, it goes to the states. The federal government cannot intervene in any question outside what has been given to them. The same applies to Germany, and the government in Bonn is subject to the same basic law. Not so in the European community. According to the principle of subsidiarity, which is the Catholic system of government, you can rule over any nation state, any government, on any issue, at any time. You have de jure, you know, judicial right to do so, any time. And that is this principle of subsidiarity. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Ja, jeg fikk den idé. Det var mange som sa, det går ikke an å oversette. Det var i Sverige å snakke om disse ting her, og det oversettene ga helt opp, fordi det er sånn... Sånn kjedelige paragrafene står og leser det, så forventer noen at man skal oversette det, går ikke an. Jeg kunne aldri, jeg kan ikke forstå det på mitt eget språk, jeg kunne selvfølgelig ikke si det på et annet språk. Så det er ikke så enkelt.